Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I am Lisa Anderson. A little preview of what is coming up. First up, we have our friend Jackson Dunn, relationship expert, here to answer a question about what church to attend after you get engaged. How do you make that decision to merge lives and merge churches? It can be tricky. Then for our culture segment, Peter and Kelly Worrell are here to talk about their new book about what they would tell their 20-something selves. So a lot of great advice born out of their own experience, and hopefully some of that you'll be able to take away as well. And it applies to, you know, if you're beyond your 20s, hey, there's stuff in there for you too. So all good stuff. But here we are for our roundtable today. We're actually going to be talking around the theme of what does our faith look like when it is applied to everyday life? So kind of that idea of moving out of this mentality that our faith is just a ticket to heaven. It's just what we do to be reconciled to God. It's just this one and done kind of mentality. We walked an aisle, we prayed a prayer. What does our faith actually mean when the rubber hits the road, for both good, for bad, for the big things, for the small things? And so I'm excited to invite Ashley, Diane, and Bobby here. Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Thanks. Hi there. Thanks for having us.
Very exciting to have you all. Okay, well, let's just start talking about this because I think this is fun stuff and certainly something that I'm sure you all have grappled with. We're all different places, not that we have to like name or state ages or anything, but let's
it's
just say
all right, just say it.
Diane, bless her heart. We're all just at different stages in life, okay? Mm-hmm. That's okay. And so these are going to, it's going to affect our answers differently. And so that's great. We have a bunch of different perspectives here. So I think we can all agree that if we look biblically at Christianity, we understand that the work of Christ on the cross and his resurrection is a means of reconciling us to God. And there is an element of we were dead in our transgressions. We were completely without hope. We were not looking for God and thinking, oh my goodness, the one thing I need in my life is more Jesus because I'm horrible. You know, I mean, none of us want right. to think that. We want to think we're good people, but we're not. So Jesus Christ has made a means for us to be reconciled to God. And one of the provisions out of that is an eternity with the Father and the Son. So anyway, so all that to say, that is true. But I like to think, and I don't know if y'all agree with this, but I mean, I think you do because don't we all believe the Bible, that we're actually living in eternity. I mean, we are eternal beings. Right. So eternity has started, people.
Yes.
Even though we are still living in a world where the devil has some dominion, which is not good, but it is true. So that said, what does it look like, again, as I introed this, for the gospel to be lived out in our life as it is right now? What is the application for now? And so if you could, here's this horrible, I always start out with these horrible questions. Like sometimes I just flat out ask people to rate themselves, which is very awkward, like when we're talking about relationships and stuff. So here's a little exercise of rating. If you could chart your spiritual life on some kind of a bell curve, so you're just, you know, starting out at conversion and where you are now, highs, valleys, lulls, stops, starts. I mean, have you had a pretty consistent growth in Christ and understanding of the gospel in your life? Or have there been like deserts? What does it look like? Any thoughts on that?
I think for me, right now, I in my phase of life, I've got a lot going on. I've got little kids at home. And so for me, I have to model my faith to them. But then also, I've been hearing a lot about grace a lot lately, in the last couple of years probably, and that has really spoken a lot to my heart and opened up a lot of doors. My relationship with my dad wasn't the best, and so having that father figure in God has been really hard for me to cling to. And so now understanding grace and grasping onto that has really meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
I think for me, I am further along in my walk and coming to know the Lord from a household that didn't know him at all. I really had to begin to live out my faith because they thought I was joining a cult. And so for them, anything that I said or did looked like it was something strange and that any moment I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid. So how do you live out the life when you don't even know what that life is supposed to look like? So I think the prayer I use the most and still do is just give me wisdom to know how to handle a situation that would reflect Christ and not me. Mm-hmm. And so there are ups, there's downs. Mm-hmm. There's times when you wonder, is he even here? Does he even hear me? Maybe my parents were right after all. So I think you do go through those dry desert times, but I know that he did die for me. And I always went back to that's where my hope lies. Mm-hmm. And now I just need wisdom to know how to handle this situation today. And what does that look like to somebody else who's watching me?
Mm. Yeah, sure. I mean, I can relate a lot with both of you guys, but I think for me, maybe 10, 15 years into this thing, that bell curve, I could have related to that early on, but in the last 8 years, there's no smoothness to how I could relate my journey with God. It's chaotic and it's mm-hmm. up and down, and the dry seasons feel more regular and comfortable than the mountaintops these days. I've learned to really see and appreciate the creator and sustainer of life through times when he seems to be apparently absent. So I don't know how I would place that on the curve, but mm-hmm. Short answer to the question, I guess, would just be where I'm at right now is grappling with that void again, as always, where I have this truth in my mind and my heart that I know God is, and trying to understand how he relates to friends and people and circumstances where it seems like he's not there. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't necessarily change too much, except for I'm relating to him in new ways.
Yeah. So, Bobby, that's interesting. Can you explain that a little bit? Because I think a lot of people will think, oh, the more mature you become in your faith, the closer you go to Christ, you're going to just, you have more answers. All of a sudden you understand, but yet you're saying it's like chaotic. Why would anyone want to grow in their faith if they're going to become more chaotic
well,
in their understanding of God?
Sure. I mean, I think growing in your faith, you have to ask, what is faith? And you talked about sin and going to heaven, and there's a couple of ways to think about that, but one of them is that sin is the thing that punishes us. It's not so much that we're punished by our sin, but we have this concept of something that distances us from our creator and from ourself and our own full potential as humans. And sin can be one of the things that creates a void between who we can be as fully alive and who we are. Mm-hmm. So the void in the faith there, I think, is more, a lot of times I understand what Jesus is saying is, I'm inviting you to be fully alive now. Mm-hmm. Not that if you sin a lot, you'll be dead forever, but that you might even be more dead right now or walking dead, like a little bit of a zombie. And I can relate to that. A lot of times I look back on the last couple months of my life and it's like, man, I was kind of dead the last few months. And my temptation a lot of times is just try and work myself into life again, which doesn't ever really work. That lasts maybe 30 hours and then mm-hmm. I'm just falling on my face. So for me, that lived faith you're asking about, you said, what does it mean to have a faith that's chaotic and void? It's more of an empowering to be able to live fully alive, because there's this life force that I allow to come in and through me. And that makes it so that not everything is pretty and clear, but so that at least there's life amidst the chaos, life amidst the doubt and fear and sadness. And I was talking to a friend the other day, and they said, why are you so excited about like sadness and pain right now? And I wouldn't say I am, but I can just say I relate just as much to the Creator in the times that are sad and the times that are happy, mm-hmm. where it's almost like those are both life. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say yes to life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because we're actually going through, and I want to ask your all of your thoughts on this. We're going through Revelation right now at church, and so it's a renewed awareness of the fact that this isn't just like life where you make choices and they're kind of made in a vacuum and you kind of just go through and live the American dream and stuff, but the whole concept of a spiritual battle and what it looks like to live in a world where the devil is defeated, but still at this point has this weird tension of having some power. And my pastor yesterday, in fact, made the comment of, you know, how do you know there's a test to determine if you are a Christian engaged in spiritual warfare, and it's to take two fingers and put it on the side of your neck, and if you have a pulse, then you are. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for you all? Because I think especially those of us in Western culture, it's very easy just to deny that entirely and feel like we're just going to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. If we just kind of fly under the radar and live an okay life, then, you know, Jesus will just be like, okay, whatever. But really recognizing the reality of there's actually decisions being made out there and battles being fought and things happening that very directly affect us. How does that apply to you all?
I think that sometimes we think that this life is about us. And so we are more...
I like to think that.
Well, yes. And that's what I'm saying.
Only at least 4 days a week. Okay. The other days I'll give to the Lord.
Are you sleeping during those days?
I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that's part of our problem, is that we hold on to this life so tightly that we forget the eternal perspective in what it is that we are doing or where it is we are going. Therefore, we hang on really tightly to the things that are around us, our children, our family, our house, our belongings, rather than saying, I'm passing through. I should have my belongings on my back, only the things I can carry, because it's not about me. It's about Christ. And I have to remind myself of that all the time. So when I get into a situation, I think, oh, why is this happening to me? Rather than, how is this going to glorify God and move ahead for the kingdom to come? Because like you mentioned at the beginning, we already are in eternity, but I don't live that way. I live today, right now, where's my cup of coffee? And I think that's so sad that we do have a very selfish mindset about our lives and what we're even doing here.
I find that visual of spiritual warfare to be very exciting and inspiring for me. I love fantasy stuff, so like Lord of the Rings and big broadswords and everything, and thinking of the angels up there that are doing their duels, it's just exciting, and that helps me to be more mindful in my decisions and what I do.
I just don't want to be the one picking up the sword.
No.
And, and ducking.
I'll let them do their work.
Yeah, let them do their part. But
they can stand in front of me.
Right, but please don't make that affect my life right now.
Right.
Because I have things to do, and this isn't one of them.
Yeah. All right. So how do we take that into the practical? So like Diane, you mentioned, you know, waking up and getting your cup of coffee. I think it's so easy to live a day without consciously understanding our relationship to the Creator, or our, you know, the reason why we're even here, or ultimately what the fact, you know, the fact that we're living in eternity, what that even means. What, how do you infuse into your everyday life an understanding of God's relationship with you in the very practical things, or even along the lines of, you know, the fact that we always talk about, like, we have a testimony and we treat that like just our conversion experience. But really, we all should be having hundreds of testimonies of God's goodness, of his work in our life, of his forgiveness, of everything throughout the week. And so what do you guys specifically look for, or how do you notice that in your everyday life?
Well, can I say this? God is so faithful to shake us, because in and of ourselves, we will just sit comfortably. And really, it's his job to shake our world enough for us to stop and really say, oh no, this isn't going smoothly. Now what do I do? So I have to continually turn to him. So those things that come into my life that disrupt my routine, I think they're an interruption. And he's saying, you forgot about me. And that's why this is here. And I'm going to show you how we're going to work through it. I think he's the one that's faithful to shake us up, because in and of ourselves, we're little sheep. And I just have my head down and I'm eating my yummy grass. And I'm not even aware that there's a wolf that's prowling around. And so it'll be Christ in me who will bring the storm, will bring the what happened to the grass. It was here a minute ago. Or that rushing flood that comes by. Otherwise, I'm very content.
And it's, I think it's still a struggle for me when I face those dark times to turn to him and know that he's got me in his hands. But for me, on an everyday basis, it's gratitude. I look at the leaves outside that are turning colors right now, and I'm so grateful for the beauty that he's provided. My kids, I'm grateful for them, even though I could throttle them sometimes. It's just, it's awesome. And I think having that basis for my spirituality is really central.
Yeah, you know, practically speaking, when you talk about the war being fought and the battles and the swords clanging, I think a lot of the times the way the battle is played out is a lot more like your neighbor next to you in the backyard is just annoying you because their dog won't stop barking.
Small things, right.
Yeah, right. And that's where the empowerment of the Spirit can come out. And I think one of the things Jesus modeled was a new way of thinking and a new way of living. It was less about I think it was less trying to help us get to a place that we aren't, and more about helping us recognize the redemption of the place where we currently are. So one story is, I walk out of my house every day. This dog comes attacking us next to the door, and it's scary, it's frightening, we're dropping coffee all over the place. This goes on for months and months and months. Well, eventually we just thought, why don't we just make friends with the dog? So we decided to go over to the neighbor's house, bring some cookies, we're petting the dog, learning the dog's name, and slowly it's becoming a relationship. And that's just one of the ways where you can think about a creative way to allow lives to overlap, and I think that's one of the things Jesus was modeling.
Mm-hmm. And I think we have family members that are like that dog. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Family members, coworkers.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Let's not name names.
Yeah, no, okay. Right, okay, yeah. And they rush at you, and your coffee goes all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I think God brings those into our lives so that we can see the selfishness of our nature. You know, you're disturbing me. This is not what I like. What's the matter with you? Why can't you be nice to me? Mm-hmm. And I think those are the things that just remind us again, we're here for an eternal purpose and not for today. If it was just for salvation, we would have been saved and gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that's what this was all about, why does he leave us here for so long? Mm-hmm. Because it's not just about the fact that we do get to go to heaven, but he wants to sanctify us along the way.
Yeah. And I like what you just said about having the relationship with the dog, because that's what it is all about, is a relationship with God and with others. It's just neat to see how that played out. That's really cool.
Yeah, sure. And you talked a little bit about Revelation earlier, and you can reframe that paradigm a little bit and say Revelation is more about the account of the enthroning of Jesus, which maybe has happened already, and the kingdom has been coming since the time. And all of a sudden that puts things like the dog and the dirt and the soil in the backyard next to me, that puts it on a much higher scale of importance. Mm-hmm. When everything is in the process of being redeemed and made new and glorified, then you can see the world, you can see people through a lens that says you are inherently good. And then we just get to investigate and see, now where in the world are you good and how can I see that?
Yeah. Let's talk just briefly about the elephant in the room when it comes to the gospel in our lives and living out the Christian life, and that is the spiritual disciplines, which I think everyone is just like, you hear a sermon about it, and you know, you knew everyone who went to youth group knew you should read your Bible every day, and you need to pray, and you need to and all these things that we can easily make little tasky things that we're putting in our day timers, and then we fail at, and then we feel bad, and then we're like, I don't love Jesus. Mm-hmm. How have you reconciled that into your own lives, and where has God truly shown up when you have made the time to meet with him in your own unique way, and it could look differently for different people?
I'm so glad you asked that. For me personally, everyone has different personalities and processes and systems, but I know that when my time where I'm reading or praying or thinking, when it is regimented and I'm really done a good job with it, that I'm like farthest away from God during those times. So that's not what a lot of people would say. Maybe it is, but I feel like if we can allow...
I kind of looked a little backslidden.
I
wish I could be liberated from the pressure to have a quiet time every day. If I was allowed to not do that every day, it seems like there'd be this freedom that comes. So sometimes I give myself a little bit of grace, and then I find myself yearning to be with the Creator, and it seems a little bit more genuine, authentic, and a little bit less like checking the box. And sometimes when I check the box and I feel like that has been checked well, almost wells up inside of me a different kind of feel goodness that comes from a place of achievement and not a place of grace. So sometimes those spiritual disciplines, of course, they're good. We need to follow them. Other times we got to make sure that they're out of a natural flow of love and reverence for God and not out of a desire to please or perform for him.
Mm-hmm. And I think, again, he brings these situations into our lives where we have no other choice but to go to the Word to find that wisdom and peace that we need. Otherwise, we just forget. The food is there. I eat it. Mm-hmm. And then you realize the food's not there. Mm-hmm. I'm hungry. Why am I hungry? Mm-hmm. Because the food's not there. Right. And he does bring those things into our lives just to remind us again, yoo-hoo, I'm the shepherd, and I'm going to move you along to where the grass is green. So there's highs, there's lows, there's ups, there's downs. There's that dryness time. And even that, you know, they sent poor Moses out into the desert for 40 years. And why did they do that? And it was very dry out there. That would not be my first choice. Mm-hmm. And it's because he had to learn through the desert that our provision.
One practical thing that I have done, because I have a tough time sitting down and reading and being very focused, but I get a daily email from Bible Gateway where I get a verse of the day. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I check my email every day, so that helps get a little bit of the word in. Mm-hmm. But then also, we live in this awesome, beautiful place where we have mountains right outside our front door where I can go out and just see the majesty of his creation and be grateful and say thank you. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's good. So just one last thought, if everyone can give me their thought on this really quickly, the idea of community and its role in this, because I think kind of back to the dog example, you know, we think of that as, oh, these angry people or these people that hate Jesus. And so they're just going to be all up in our grill. But sometimes it's like the Christians that are kind of the most refining for us, because we're like, you should know better, people. Why are you treating me poorly? Or why are you getting all in my space and everything? And it's very easy for me to listen to a bunch of sermons or to like read books on theology. But then all of a sudden, when I live in community with people, I get crazy. And all of a sudden, I'm this weird, angry person that doesn't look like I've read any scripture. So how practically, how is that? How have you guys reconciled that to just understanding God in the midst of that?
For me, community is an absolutely essential part of our Christian faith. Mm-hmm. And community can look like a lot of different things. It can mean like, looks like you live with your spouse. It can mean that you work with people who are humans and they're in your community. It can mean you're in a class with other people. But the more intimate you get in community, whether that's with your friends or your family, the more space there is for your sin to be recognized by others. Mm-hmm. Or I guess you could say the less space there is for sin to exist and for you to have a normal functioning relationship. So for me, community, almost like you said, God is the one who shakes things mm-hmm. up and creates space. Community opens our eyes to ways that we are not as fully thriving as we could be. And when we have an open and honest community that has space for open communication, then it's almost like a mirror where you can see where and how you can grow and learn. And I think that's hard to do in our society.
And it's painful.
It's hard. It's painful. It's uncomfortable.
Right. And you have to decide whether or not, how, do I really want to grow?
Yeah.
Or am I really happy right now? And if I really want to grow, then I have to allow people to see, gosh, she's not that great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's okay.
Well, we could go on all day. I think we'll have to start just living this out. And of course, those of you out there, we want to hear how you're doing it as well. Find us on the blog and weigh in with your own stories and just where God's met you through this process of growth. Thanks, you guys, for being part of this.
Yeah. Thank you. This was awesome.